You are now listening to the Black Girl Nerds Podcast.
Five, six, seven, eight. Holla, boys and girls, it's the BGN. Coming from the Marvel world to the DC friends. All the way from Hollywood to the PCN. She defends everyone from sleazy men. Won't apologize for spitting Shonda Rhimes. The space that we make is never colonized. Talking games and movies and actors.
Word? Better shake your booties for Black Girl Nerds. Better shake your booties for Black Girl Nerds. Better shake your booties for Black Girl Nerds.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of the Black Girl Nerds Podcast. My name is Jamie and I am your host. In this week's episode, we welcome filmmaker Sean Baker. He is the director of the new Neon film coming out on October 18th called Anora. Anora is about a young sex worker from Brooklyn who gets her chance at a Cinderella story when she meets and impulsively marries the son of an oligarch. Once the news reaches Russia, her fairy tale is threatened as the parents set out for New York to get the marriage annulled. Sean Baker is a film director, cinematographer, producer, screenwriter, and editor. He's directed six feature films over the past two decades, including 2015's Tangerine and 2017's The Florida Project, which premiered in the director's Fortnite section of the Cannes Film Festival and was distributed by A24. We are really excited to have Sean talk about his new film, Anora, with us on a one-on-one here on the Black Girl Nerds Podcast. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's episode with filmmaker Sean Baker.
Jamie Broadnax, Black Girl Nerds. Hi, Sean. How are you?
Hey, how are you? What's that image on your skateboard?
Oh, that's from a show called Naomi, short-lived show on the CW.
Oh, cool. Nice.
A comic book character.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much. Listen, I'm a fan of your work. I love what you did. The first film that I saw of yours was Tangerine, which I'm still amazed that that film was shot on iPhones. That's just really compelling work.
Oh, thank
and
you.
And I wanted to segue into talking about like your history with these films, these beautiful stories about women as sex workers, and we see this in the story of Anora. Why are you drawn to telling these type of stories through your history, through your filmography?
Sure. Actually, it stemmed from the research that I had done on Starlet, the film I made before Tangerine. Getting to know sex workers, hearing their stories. I remember being on set and my cinematographer, Radium Chung, said, look, there's a million stories to be told here. There's a movie. And I was like, you're right. But I just have to approach one at a time, essentially. And that's how I did it. I never wanted it to become a shtick, but I've been very inspired by the stories that I've heard from that world and felt that each one says its own thing and can be unique and explore a different aspect of the livelihood. I think when I analyze it, if there is an intent, if there's a goal behind it, it's to present it in a different way than it's been presented, by U.S. film and TV, especially recently. I felt the representation has been lacking, and there's this unfair stigma that's applied to sex work. It's been applied forever, and it doesn't seem to be going away. Hopefully these films help chip away at that stigma by presenting a fully fleshed out three-dimensional, character in which audiences can, have empathy for in a way because they connect with the characters because they see themselves in these characters and find themselves rooting for these characters. So I think that's if there's a goal behind this, it's that.
You tell it in such a dignified and respectful way, and we really get to see that through the character of Annie and Honora. I love the energy also, and the vibe and the pacing of this film. And I was always curious to know, was it always the intention to have the momentum be what that was on the page as we end up seeing it in the film? Because I was on the edge of my seat. Like, it was stressful watching these characters navigate through trying to find our character. Mark's character. Yeah,
I would say so. I always wanted to keep that momentum. You know, they are searching for somebody, so we're always moving forward. We're always, you know, on the road, and there's always movement involved. I would say the ultimate flow and structure wasn't fully found until post-production. It never is. Mm. It's always in the edit where you really figure out, you know, the pacing. But I have to say, because my cast and crew were so all on the same page, you know, my cast knew when they could be broad with their comedy, or when they had to be grounded, you know, with their performances. And that really helped me. They very much found the pacing through their performances.
And talking with Mikey and talking with Mark, I was really just astounded by the fact that you gave them so much agency with their characters and development. From Mikey being able to help craft the script with you, and Mark was telling me how he was able to kind of develop his character as he was doing that process. I mean, is that really what you prefer in informing your actors, is kind of giving them a little bit more agency and freedom to develop?
Of course, yeah. And I've been so blessed with, you know, with casts over the years, working with actors who are inspired to, you know, to learn more about the character they're playing and try to, you know, and figure out possible backstory, and sometimes even, like, you know, think about what happens after, you know, after the scene cuts to black. You know, I think Mikey and Mark and they love their characters. They actually love the characters they're playing. And so, it's something I love to do. In this particular case of Honora, this is the first time my main cast and most of my supporting cast were seasoned professional actors. And that helps. No, I mean, it helps in a way that, you know, they give me, with every take, they'll give me something new. They'll be aware of the camera. They'll know what to give in the most subtle way. It was an absolute pleasure to work with them. I mean, really incredible.
Yeah, I'm so impressed by the discipline that they put themselves through as well. Mikey, in particularly, just like the training of learning Russian and getting that Brooklyn accent just right, and the choreography and just all of that process. I just have so much respect for her in doing that and creating that character.
Thank you. Yes, and I just wanted to add something based on what you just said there about Mikey. She actually, okay, so there's that scene in the movie. It's the second date when she goes to the mansion and she does that erotic dance on the floor up to the couch where Yvonne is watching her. So in the script, it was one line. It was, she performs an erotic dance for Ivan, period. That's, you know, that was it.
Right.
She took it upon herself to, you know, with her trainer, Kennedy, she co-created this beautiful dance, a dance that looked quite, you know, impressive and professional. And she recorded herself doing it, and she, you know, she presented it to me. And I saw this, I'm like, oh, wow, you really took this seriously. This is incredible. Let's make a moment of this. Let's actually make a set piece of this dance and turn it almost into a music video. And now it's one of my favorite scenes in the film, and I think it really shows the audience how good Annie is at her job. So that's just that's an example right there of collaboration. You know, Mikey being so invested in this that, you know, her dedication actually leads to an entire set piece being designed for her in that character.
Oh, wow. And it translates well on screen. She did such a phenomenal performance. I love the balance of humor with action as well in this film. And also there's some very dramatic moments. I went through a whirlwind of emotions. I mean, I cried, I laughed, and that last scene gutted me. Was it intentional to take the audience through a whirlwind of emotions when you were writing this on the page? Like, I want to make everybody feel every single emotion across the spectrum.
Yes, I have to say it was, because, you know, my other films have been a little more linear in the way of, you know, sticking with one tone or genre. I've started to mix it up lately, and I found that to be quite satisfying because it's challenging. It's challenging, and it's a challenge to pull, you know, to try to have the audience, you know, stick with you while you're throwing curveballs and presenting them with these tonal shifts that they're not used to in regular, you know, in most of the films they actually see. So, it was a balance that I started in the writing process, continued, you know, in production. And that's what I mean when I mentioned earlier that my actors were all on the same page, so much so that there wasn't even that much communication when it came to a scene such as the courtroom scene. That's very big, very almost sitcom level broad humor. My actors knew they could take it to that level. They could take it up there, and they wouldn't lose the audience, because they're just doing it just enough, but then afterwards we're bringing them down, and especially to the end scene where we're bringing them down to like raw, grounded reality. As long as we got there, it was okay to have this roller coaster of, you know, genres and tones leading up to it. So yeah, I'm glad it's working for people. I really am. You never know. You never know.
Job well done. I mean, at least for me, you definitely did a number on me with my emotions.
Oh, that's nice to hear.
Congratulations, Sean. This was amazing. And you know you've done something right when me as an audience member, I'm so invested in the characters that when the last frame ends, I want to know what's happening next. Mm. What's happening to these characters after this story ends? So... Mm. All the best to you. Thank you for taking the time to speak to Black Girl Nerds. I really appreciate the conversation.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having us. Bye-bye.
Take care.
The Black Girl Nerds podcast is produced by Jamie Broadnax. The opening theme song to our show is written and performed by Samus. Various instrumentals are performed by Samus, Sky Blue, and Shubzilla. You can find various episodes of the Black Girl Nerds podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Audioboom, Google Play Music, and Spotify.